The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, there's a thing with sports talk show hosts. Nobody wants to work in and around the 4th of July. And the reason that nobody wants to work as a sports talk show host in and around the 4th of July is that, you know, kind of historically, they say, air quotes, nothing is going on. And there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing going on. Oh, we've got plenty to talk about. Well, welcome to it. This is your show for the next 4 hours. It's always an interesting ride. John Fricke at the Northern Kia Studios. It is the one show where there are no guests. Well, occasionally there's a guest. Like, for example, tomorrow early in the program, and I should probably let Eric Slaughter know this, Ovi Mahaley will be with us to talk a little bit about the Falcons, give us his thoughts about that. He's doing a podcast with Michael Turner now, so I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow just for a little bit at the beginning of the show and kind of set you up. But for the most part, these 4 hours, the old school talk show, which is always interesting because, you know, some people want to kind of clash a little bit and some people want to, you know, talk about things that they don't get to hear a lot about. And you get a chance to do that at 404-726-0929. This is your show for the next 4 hours. As you know, most sports shows now, not just in Atlanta, but across the nation, are pretty fairly highly produced shows, which, and some of them are extremely good. We got great shows on this channel, right? I mean, 92.9 The Game's got great shows. They just tend to be highly produced, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with a highly produced show. This is just the chance where the fans get to kind of come in, have their say, air it out, and we're going to be talking about the things that we need to air out today on this program at 404-726-0929. And the only thing I ever ask is, if we disagree, just don't be disagreeable. Sometimes Eric Slaughter, people disagreeable. They can be disagreeable, and there's no reason.
Never, ever, ever.
Never. No. How you doing?
Splendidly well. Slept in this morning. Had a little breakfast. Nice hot shower. And now I'm here with you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm playing injured today, I will admit. Because last night, this happens, and it doesn't happen often anymore. But last night, we went to an afternoon matinee because I said, look, I want to watch the Phillies and the Braves. So, and my wife, my beautiful bride, wanted to go see the first chapter of this Horizon movie, which is long. I thought it was really good. I liked it more than she did. But, you know, you take it for whatever it is. I thought it was pretty darn good. But it's setting up the storylines for chapter two. So it's kind of, there are three different storylines. And yet she's like, it's a little tough to follow with three different storylines. I'm like, okay. I didn't have a trouble with it, but okay. Anyway, we get back home to have a little dinner, watch the Phillies and Braves. The seventh inning happens, and I'm like, okay, I'm out. She's like, what? I said, I'm done. I can't watch this comedy errors anymore. I'm just done. And so I'm off. I'm done. You know, out of Apple TV and done. You know, what do you want to do? You want to watch another movie? And she's like, we just watched a 3-hour movie today. So we go and do what we tend to do, which is we go to the kitchen table, okay, which is where we solve the world's problems. I don't know about you, but we solve. And what happens is we break out the Bose and we break out the iPod, or whatever amounts to an iPod anymore, which has 4,000 songs on it. Yeah, we have 4,000 songs. It's a lot. I know. And she's like, what do you want to hear? And then the wine bottle of wine, and then another. And yeah, you know where we're going with this. So I'm playing a little injured this morning because at some point, because my back is to the clock, she goes, you know, we're drunky. And she's like, you know, it's like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, that's probably not good. But we need that every now and then, don't we, Eric? Have a little bit too much fun, a little bit too much grape juice. Yeah, it's all good.
Don't worry, I'll get you through the 4 hours. I'll get you through, don't worry.
Yeah, I know. 404-726-0929. Well, Eric, today is the countdowns continue. This is not really anything we're talking about. I'm just kind of bringing you up to speed here. 7 weeks from today. You know what 7 weeks from today is, Eric? 7 weeks from today.
First game of college football season at Georgia Tech in Notre Dame?
Yeah, Florida State.
Florida State, my bad. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Florida
7 weeks.
Georgia Tech in
Saturday.
7 weeks. Yeah. 7 weeks from today, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Dublin, Ireland, kicking off the college football season. 7 weeks from today, 7 weeks for you Swampers is 49 days. Don't worry about it. When we get there, we'll let you know. But other countdowns include, it's July 6th. Do you know that this is why Obi's going to be on tomorrow. We're 10 days away from the first camps opening in the NFL. 10 days.
Yeah.
And then the Falcons will open on the 24th.
Yes, it'll be here before we know it. A good week in a couple days, and all the camera crews will be at their locations as the guys report to camp, and we'll see who does not report to camp, because there's some rumors out there that there's still some guys unhappy.
Yeah, there are a few guys that are unhappy, that they won't report to camp because they don't like their contract situation. So we'll see, right? So 10 days away from the start of training camps in the NFL, the first camp's opening, the rookies opening. Rookies and veterans for the Falcons report on the same day. Some don't. Some have rookies report, and then the veterans show up a few days later. So we're 18 days away from that, and that'll be on the 24th. Again, a friendly reminder, the camp this year is not open to fans in Flowery Branch because of all the ongoing construction in Flowery Branch. There will be two open practices, one at Second Year High and one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we'll certainly be keeping you up to speed. Now, having said that, again, I want to remind you that 92.9 The Game is going to be there front to back every day of training camp from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. We've got you covered. Every single day. So anything that's going on, you'll hear all the interviews, you'll hear all the news. Even though the fans aren't going to be there, the station will be there live with all the shows from in and around training camp. So don't worry about that. We'll have you covered on all that stuff. So that's going to be on the 24th, which is also the first day of competition for the Olympics. You'll hear people, and I heard it today, 20 days until the Olympics start. And I'm like, that's not really true. The opening ceremonies are 20 days from today. Yes, that's when the Olympics start. No, not really true. On the 24th and the 25th, 2 days before the opening ceremonies, there's events that are going on. They start on the 24th. Those are Olympic events, and they're going on the 24th. The opening ceremonies are to the 26th. It's not like there's the opening ceremonies and then the games begin. No, the games actually are already underway by the time you get to the opening ceremony. I know I'm splitting hairs here, but it's just how they're talking here. And this year we have to kind of get used to the idea in the Olympics here. And yes, I know I'm getting to the Braves. Don't worry, because everybody wants to jump in. I got 4 hours. Everybody's talking about the Olympics. I saw one thing that they're really mad, Eric, about the fact that the Olympics, because NBC is already announcing that you're going to see things that are going to be, a lot of stuff's going to be taped and shown like live in prime time, right, in the East Coast and stuff, because of the time difference in Paris to here, right? 5 hour time difference. And so,
because they're upset because technically they already know the results.
Yeah, and people want to watch it live, They don't want to watch stuff that's pre-taped. I mean, there'll be a lot live. It'll just be, in the mornings and stuff. But there'll be a lot of marquee events.
Yeah.
a lot of marquee events that they tape and don't show. You know, it's funny is that back, right, old man moment. Give me an old man moment here, okay? I've been doing this a while. Back in the day, I'll circle back to 1980, the greatest Olympic moment in the history of the United States was the Miracle on Ice. And you had to have been alive and understand if you've never seen the movie Miracle, I can't recommend it highly enough. It is a phenomenally great film. It's a great film. Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks, it's just great. You should rent it just to get the Olympic spirit. If you've never seen it and don't know the story of the Miracle on Ice team against the Soviets, Soviets prior to the Miracle on Ice, because the American college kids that played against them at Lake Placid. They were college hockey players. They were no NHL players. The Soviets had played. Soviet Union had gone through the United States and played a practice series of games against the NHL All-Stars, okay? The biggest stars in the NHL. And they had played like three games against the NHL All-Stars, one in New York, I think, one somewhere else like Chicago, and one in Canada, and had obliterated the NHL All-Stars. 6-0, 7-1. We're just talking the NHL All-Stars, and the Soviets just killed them. So the fact that they won the game. Anyway, the point is that back in 1980, that game in Lake Placid was played because it wasn't the championship game. I think people misunderstand that. It was a semifinal game. And so in the semifinal game against the Soviets, that game was played in the afternoon. And ABC taped the game and showed it at prime time, you know, because it was so much build up to this game, right? But there was also something else. There was an embargo on the news. An embargo on the... Nobody knew what had happened. They weren't saying. Nobody, unless you were in Lake Placid or somebody picked up the phone and called somebody, nobody was reporting it. They were not reporting it. I know. It was an embargo on the news. Can you imagine that? Yeah. No, you cannot report the score of the game. What? Yeah, you can't do it. AP said, nope, there's an embargo on it. Okay, there's an embargo on news. Never heard of that one before. So that the Olympics coming up, of course, and then tonight we'll have Atlanta United. Our coverage is a late-night game. Again, time difference here. 8:30, coverage begins at 8:30 tonight. Atlanta United and Real Salt Lake out in Utah tonight. 8:30, our coverage begins for Atlanta United and Real Salt Lake. All right. I know it's a long way around getting to what we really need to talk about today. But I'm not sure how much I want to... Well, I mean, I do. We're obviously going to spend the majority of the show on it. I guess my question to you is... You know what? I'll ask Eric Slaughter, and then all of you can kind of jump in. Before I start going through all the details here of how bad this is, and it's bad, Eric Slaughter, when it comes to the Braves, is it... I'll give you two options. Is it relax, it's going to be all fine? Or is this like a 3-4-5-alarm fire?
There's no middle ground. You got to go straight to 5-alarm fire.
I'm just asking.
Well, it's that my answer is relax. We'll still make the playoffs, but the division is over. The division race is over. Conceded. We'll be the wild card.
Yeah, I don't think we're. I at this point, as I sit here right now, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, negative. That's not who I am. I drive the bandwagon. I'm the keeper of the Kool-Aid.
That's why we love you, John. That's why we love you.
I'm not sure the Braves are making the playoffs. I've got very little confidence level that they're making the playoffs. I mean, what happened yesterday?
That's a 5-alarm fire. I'll give you
some of the numbers. What happened yesterday in this 8-6 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies is not only did it drop them 10 back of the Phillies in the East. Yesterday's loss was the 28th straight loss by the Braves when the opponents have scored at least 4 runs. Let me repeat that. The Braves, when the opponents have scored at least 4 runs in a game against the Braves have lost 28 straight games. The last time they won a game when an opponent scored 4 runs or more was when they beat the Reds 5-4 on April 17th. You score 4 runs, it's an automatic win against the Braves. Four. So when the Phillies got to 4, I went, yeah, the game's pretty much over because 28 straight losses. I mean, there's stuff here that says 5-alarm fire, okay? I'm not saying it's a 5-alarm fire, but boy, it's pretty close. Then consider this. The Braves are only a game and a half up in the wild card, a game and a half. In the last 62 games, the Braves are 29-33. They're 29-33 in their last 62 games, and there's no trend line saying that's going up. And when you look at the wild card standings, the Braves are a game and a half up. Behind the Braves, San Diego Padres, that's one, St. Louis Cardinals, two, San Francisco Giants, three, Arizona Diamondbacks, four, New York Mets, five, Pittsburgh Pirates, six, Cincinnati Reds, seven, Washington Nationals, eight, Chicago Cubs, nine. Nine teams behind the Braves, that are all closer to the Braves in the wild card than the Braves are to the Phillies in the East. That's a 9-team race chasing the Braves for the 2 wild card spots. I don't know how anybody here can sit here and say, oh, yeah, they got the law. Because Garrett Chapman said that to me yesterday. Oh, no, they're in the playoffs. You just said it, Eric. Are you guys seeing some? What trend line says to you that they're going to be able to hold on to this 1.5 game lead in the wild card? Nothing I've seen. And it gets worse. The team that's immediately behind them, the San Diego Padres, one game back. Now, I know there's 2 wild cards, but the team that's one game back, San Diego Padres, has played 6 more games than the Braves. They played 6 more games. Now, what does that mean, John? It means the Braves have so much makeup to do, and we saw what happened with one of the makeup games when they had to fly to Chicago to play the White Sox, and they played one of the worst games I've ever seen the Atlanta Braves play in getting shut out by 5 White Sox pitchers. The White Sox. They have so many doubleheaders and no days off coming up to make up the 6 games that they are trailing in terms of games played from teams behind them. They're going to be exhausted. Yeah, I got a lot of concerns. So I'm asking you at 404-726-0929 with the Braves. Is it relaxed? Everything's fine? Or is this a 3-alarm fire, a 4-alarm fire, a 5-alarm fire? How do you fall in this right now with the Atlanta Braves being 10 back of the Phillies on Sports Radio 92 on the game?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is it, you know, are we still, there are 2 kinds of Braves fans right now, okay? There are snit haters, right? And there are relaxers. And, you know, the snit haters, and I'm not really, there are 3 kinds because there are people like me that are, I'm not in the relaxed mode and I don't hate snit, but I just, you know, there's 2 very vocal, let's put it that way, sections of Braves fans, subsections, snit haters and relaxers. And I'm not either. I don't hate snit, but at the same time, I'm not relaxed. And you can point to a lot of things that would remain positive. You know, the Braves do have a history of being able to put things together. AA Magic Pixie Dust and the trade deadline is coming up in 24 days on July 30th. So he's got a little bit of time to work his magic. And, you know, he's brought in some veterans. They're mostly in Gwinnett at the moment, though, it seems. Brian Anderson, you know, Eddie Rosario is back with the team. Eddie Rosario that was DFA'd by Washington, and he's back. He's in Gwinnett now. As a matter of fact, I think he had a triple last night. So Eddie could be a nice little boost to the team, at least emotionally, and hopefully maybe from a hitting standpoint. Eddie's back with the ball club, and we'll see how that kind of all plays out. You brought Duvall back. You brought Rosario back. You're trying to kind of recapture a little bit of something here. And yeah, the pitching's been fine, you know. And so if you trust that the hitters are going to hit and things are going to go their way. But there's the positive, and then there's the other side of it, which says, again, they've lost. It's just a mind-blowing statistic to say that they've lost 28 straight games where the opponents have scored at least 4 runs. The Braves would spot somebody 5 runs in the first inning and go, yeah, okay. Yeah, we got this. Oh, you got 5? Good. Oh, that's a nice little 5 spot you put on us. When you lose the game today, remember that you put a 5 spot on us in the first inning. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Will. Hey, Will.
Morning. Look here. Smith is a Bobby Cox clone, and he's going to be the reason why we are winning 1 championship in 10 years or 1 in 20 years. The Braves don't teach fundamental baseball, just like when they had Maddox driving and Smoltz. You got to, when the home runs are not working, you got to manufacture run. That's bunting, bunting the sacrifice, and squeeze bunting. Braves were never taught that. They are never a complete team, and they'll always be this win one every century.
So your answer, Will, is that that things are not fine, that this is like a 3 or 4 or 5-alarm fire at the moment.
It's not a 5-alarm fire, but they got speed on the team. And when you're not hitting home runs and not hitting, you have to manufacture runs. Bunt them for your speedy guys, bunt the sacrifice, bunt to move them over, bunt to squeeze, and hit, and whatever. You know, if you bunt it, get a hit and bunt the person over, then a sacrifice is right. If you get them over third, you got to run. But they've never taught fundamental baseball 100%. And that's why Cox, that's why we should have won 3 or 4 more World Series under Cox, and it's going to be the same under Nick as Cone.
Appreciate it, Will. 404-726-0929. Of course, you do lose out of your lineup from an injury standpoint. You're a guy that stole over 70 bases last year. That's a big loss. Michael Harris has been out, though the good news is Harris is out working out with the team again, and his return is looks like it's going to be fairly soon. You'll get him back. A.J. Smith-Shawver is down in Rome. It looks like he may be back soon. Minter is back. So the team is starting to heal up a little bit, and that's good news. And so I think if you look at it from that standpoint, there's going to be the team getting healthier. And that's something you certainly point to if you're going to say everything is going to be fine. And a lot of people are. Garrett Chapman is yesterday again said he's 100% certain. You heard Eric Slaughter. They're going to make the playoffs. I mean, there are a lot of you out there believe you're 100% certain. This is like intervention for John time, because John is looking at this going, I don't know how this happens here. You know, a magic dust. Okay. You know, I mean, and by the way, well, I think they are going to make a move. I guess so. But now if you start thinking about it, you know, I thought, oh, they'll make a move and get a big name out there in right field. You start looking at how crowded they are in the term of when Michael Harris gets back in terms of the number of outfielders they have. I just mentioned, you know, you got at least 3 major league quality outfielders, you know, veterans like Anderson and Rosario in Gwinnett, in addition to all the outfielders you have currently on the team, and you're going to add Michael Harris back into the mix. So, and they just elevated Eli White. So, I mean, they got a lot of outfielders. I think Rosario, at this point, I don't think they're making a move for another outfielder. So they may, they'll go get another starting pitcher. Okay, well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, Jesse Chavez kind of blew up yesterday, so maybe they go get another reliever. Okay, again, that's fine. I have no problem with that. You know, I mean, at shortstop, you don't necessarily need to go any, but if you want to elevate Nacho, you can. I'm not really sure there's a whole lot of wiggle room here, you know, short of, you know, and we'll knock on wood, of a major injury or two between now and the end of the month that allows much anything from Alex Anthopoulos, though he may surprise me, because the roster is pretty jam-packed with players. So, anyway, we'll see. I think you're almost at what, you know, you're going to dance with what brung you in terms of the roster. 404-726-0929. First question, there are always 3 questions on the show, okay? And the first question up today is about the Braves. Are you saying, like, and echoing the opinion of other people, which, again, I can see the positives, and you can kind of walk me through them, that you're still good, relax, everything's fine. I don't think it's a 5-alarm fire, but I think it's a 3-alarm fire. Because right now, Rome is starting to burn, and I am getting very concerned about whether or not the Braves are going to even make the playoffs. Even make the playoffs. Again, 9 teams behind them in the wild card that are closer to them in the wild card than the Braves are to the Phillies in the East. And a lot of makeup games. A lot. And tell me how Matt Olson figures this out, because I don't know. Let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Well, first of all, longtime Braves fan, huge Braves fan. I'm an optimist. I don't like the direction they're going right now, but I am an optimist. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I told your producer, I just want to change the side. I've been wanting to call in for a while. So I'm having an opportunity to go over to the Euro 2024 games, the semifinal and then the final in Berlin. I'm not a huge soccer fan. Do you know what I should expect, what I should do, how I should act, who I should pull for?
I have no – I've never been over – the only time I ever went to Europe, I went with my first wife, and I went to France and sat on the beach in the south of France. So I've never been to a – never been to Germany, never been to a soccer game. I don't necessarily have a dog in the hunt. I mean – My lineage. I don't know what's your background. I mean, where does your family?
Well,
come from?
I'm here in North Georgia is where we're from. But lived
no,
no,
I'm talking and, about I'm talking about I'm talking about your ancestry. I mean, are you Italian? You German? You Hungarian? You got to be something.
Scottish.
Okay. Well, and Scotland's out, obviously. And
yeah.
I'm Norwegian almost through and through, and Norway's never no good. So I don't know. Pick a team and go.
I was pulling for Germany, and, you know, there were some great games yesterday. But anyway, you know, you're very knowledgeable in everything that you talk about. I never really heard you talk about soccer that much, so I just kind of wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, no, I envy you. I think it would be an incredible experience to go over and watch, you know, especially in you know, PSG or go to, you know, to see Manchester City or Manchester United or Liverpool or Arsenal or something, or go see, you know, Mönchengladbach or something in play. That's obviously not Berlin, but, you know, to go see Kaiserslautern or any of those, you know, great German teams. And Euro would be a phenomenal thing. And, of course, we're going to get really, really fortunate, too, with the World Cup coming here. And my only concern is, you know, my only concern is, you know, next week they're going to decide the fate of Greg Berhalter, the head coach of the United States men's team, and I think he's out, but we'll see.
Correct. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. And you have a great day.
You too, Mark. I wish I could help you more. I don't know what you should expect. Oh, well, I do kind of, I mean, I think broadly we can all assume that it's just going to be nuts, right? I mean, it's just going to be nutty. But I would say this, given the history of European soccer fans, I probably would wear neutral colors. If it's a game between red and blue, you know, and people in the streets of Los Angeles know what I'm talking about. If it's a, you know, in LA, you try, you know, you wore green. Yeah. You're like, hey. Yeah, look at me. I got green on. Yeah. Are you Irish? No. I'm just not red or blue. Just, I would stay and steer clear and keep your antenna up because, yeah, those European football fans, they can get to be a fun bunch. Let's put it that way. Have a great time. I really envy you, Mark. I think it's going to be pretty cool that you're able to do that, to go to Germany and see that. I would love to do that. Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Yes. What I see happening in baseball is last year they put in the pitch clock, and you saw a lot of offense, but you also had a lot of pitchers developing or complaining about injuries from the clock. So it looks like this year, to kind of compensate, balls on the outside of the plate, it could be a full ball whiff off the outside of the plate. It's being called a strike. And you see players all around the league looking back at the umpire like, what? And, you know, when you're the Braves and you're pull the ball home run hitters, that doesn't work out well. For Matt Olson, he has developed the Dale Murphy syndrome. A ball that comes in above the knee and breaks out of the strike zone, he's swinging at it every time. And you were talking about the college football playoffs yesterday. And I have a question. Why do they think all these first, second, or third round picks are going to play in all those extra games at the end of the year?
Yeah, no, it was something I brought up, but it will be certainly something, Steve, to keep an eye on as to whether or not, and I mentioned it, you know, could you have players who look at you know, being a first round, especially if you're a first round pick, you know, look, I'm a top 10 pick, and you want me to play in four more football games? Yeah, I mean, is it possible players could opt out? Yeah, I mean, it is. I think what they're going to bank on is that, you know, your NIL, and they're going to pay. Well, first off, you're going to have a contract. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean much anything, but soon you're going to have a contract. I mean, they're going to pay the players. So you're getting paid, and you got to live up to your end of the bargain. It doesn't mean you can't fake an injury, I guess. But I don't think you can just, you know, I mean, you've got to live up to your end of the bargain here, or otherwise you're not going to get paid. I mean, I think that's the only thing you can kind of lean on.
Well, compare that to an NFL contract, and these players are not going to do it.
Well, they may not. I mean, and we'll see.
You saw what Florida State did last year.
Yeah, well, they weren't playing for a national championship. Right, they weren't playing for a national title. I mean, so there's a huge gap of difference there. I mean, so I honestly, Steve, I think it's fair. It's something we'll have to watch, keep our eyes on. I think it's a fair, because I brought it up too. And so I can't answer you until it actually happens. Do we have a player that opts out of the playoffs? I mean, if they do, you just got to cover for it. Treat him like he's injured and move on, I guess. I don't think if they do, right. Steve, it's going to be thank you. I appreciate the call, Steve. If they do, if we do have a player opt out, the opt outs didn't come into the whole concept of opting out, at least publicly opting out, whether players did so in the past, if they were, didn't want to play in a bowl game because they were going to the NFL draft, maybe they faked an injury or something. But the whole concept of publicly opting out didn't happen until Christian McCaffrey at Stanford and Leonard Fournette at LSU. McCaffrey went first, and then Fournette heard McCaffrey do it, and he said, I'm with you. And those two opted out of their bowl games, their senior, but whatever their last year was, assume McCaffrey was a senior, their last year in college, and said, we're both going to the NFL draft. I'm not going to risk it for a bowl game. Playoffs are different. You know, there's going to be prize pool money that you can get. You're going to be getting paid anyway. Your NIL might be tied to that. So there's a money incentive. And I think we're only talking about a small percentage of players here, which is like top half of the first round. Okay. 404-726-0929. Because if you're in the third round, you want to play to increase your value, right? 404-726-0929. First question up, Braves all fine or five alarm fire? I can bring up the second question at the top of the hour, and we'll get to question number two today, which involves your Atlanta Hawks on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Well, the opening game against the Philadelphia Phillies did not exactly go as hoped. Seventh inning turned into like Keystone Cops with balls being thrown all over the place and errors, and it was a disaster. And the Braves, with this loss, fall 10 games back of the Phillies. Tonight it will be Schwalbach against Suarez, and Ranger Suarez, who might start the All-Star game and is one of the leading candidates for the Cy Young this year, he's the dude that the Braves haven't been able to touch. Yeah, maybe they can tonight. Maybe things change, and maybe tonight they finally get to Ranger Suarez. Braves are going to have something positive come out of this series, because right now, I don't know. But maybe you're saying, hey, relax, everything's going to be fine. Okay, I need you to walk me through how everything's going to be fine. Yesterday Ozuna homered and Riley homered and Ozzie homered, and so they're back. Yeah, same time that Max faltered and that the defense went haywire wacky. I mean, there were boos. There were people booing at Truist Park. But we still need the wild card, yeah, by a game and a half. And you've got to play so much more baseball and all this makeup that you got to do. Yeah, there's a lot of concerns here for me. And the whole AA pixie dust thing between now and the trade deadline, I started looking at it going, to go where and do what? You're kind of loaded right now. I mean, he can still make a – don't get me wrong. He can still make a move, and he probably will. But I don't think it's going to be something massive. It's not going to be like when he rebuilt the bullpen 7, 8, 9 and the whole Will Smith, Chris Martin thing back a few years back, or – you know, when he went and redid the outfield of the year of the World Series and got Jock and Soler and Rosario. What did he do? Well, he brought back Rosario yesterday. So now Rosario's back. He's down in Gwinnett, but so he's back. I don't know. I don't know where you go with this. David joins us here to talk about where the Braves go with this. Hey, David.
Hey, a couple of points here. One, in baseball, because you have such long careers, players tend toward their career numbers, whether they're above or below their typical average. And I think in that concern, you don't really worry about the batting capabilities of most of these players. They're going to do better in the second half than they did in the first half. So I don't think that's a major concern. Secondary, since the wild card came in, winning the division has been a real albatross. Very few division winners have gotten out of the first round, and I think you can attribute that to the five-day layoff. It really seems to have an adverse effect on teams. So winning the division is all well and good for patting yourself on the back, but I think it's actually a downside in terms of trying to win the championship. So in that concern, I don't think it's that big a deal. It would be freakish if the Braves continue to bat so poorly across the lineup, because that would mean the team itself has had a below-average year, and you don't anticipate that with the quality players they have in the lineup.
All right, David, I got to tell you, I am nowhere in your universe. I am literally nowhere in your universe. It's like, what have you been watching? No offense here. They have been. They have been so far below all their averages. It's not like we played 10 games. I mean, we're well into the second half of the season. There is no indication that this is going to change, except the back of the baseball card. That's not, David, helping me at all, because I'm seeing a team that's got no clue offensively. There's no reason, David, for me to believe at all that they are going to revert to some norm. None. I don't have some wild, blind faith that because Matt Olson hit 54 home runs this year, that this dude's going to hit 20 this year. I have none.
Well, you knew they were not going to do like last year, because last year was freakishly good. It is possible this will be a year they'll be freakishly bad. But I'm more optimistic than you are.
It has been. Yeah, no, I know you are, and that's why I'm just trying to walk myself through this. I got nothing here. At this point, David, if I had to go into Vegas and bet, I would bet that the Braves don't make the playoffs.
Well, I have to say there's so many teams close to it that it may be a coin flip, not so much that the Braves are so bad, it's that the other team, there's so many other teams that are comparable. There's not really that much of a difference. But if you can just make it into the playoffs in baseball, you've got a chance. And like I said, the wild card probably gives you a better chance than division winners, at least according to the way things have been set up with the wild card system the last few years. So,
I understand that. I mean, we've talked at length, David, about that. I mean, whether or not, because when they expanded the wild card, you got a week off here, and the Braves, tended to say that they didn't handle it well in the first year, and so the second year we're just working out. Second year, last year they did these mock games where they played these kind of inter squad games, bought up the Gwinnett Stripers, and let fans into the ballpark and kind of like tried to pretend that the season was going on, and that didn't so much work, and so they're kind of trying to work through it. And baseball said, look, maybe we have a problem with this, because it wasn't just the Braves, it was also the Orioles, it was also the Dodgers. And so they said, yeah, this is something we have to kind of look at, because people were saying, when you just stop down, it's other teams just they kept running, and they went right past you, like in a race. You had the lead, and then you stopped to get water, and the other guys didn't stop running, and then now you're trying to catch up. So, that's an issue, I understand. I mean, when the Braves won the World Series, of course, they were a division winner, not a wild card team, but they had to play in a wild card series against the Brewers, and so they just kept going. This lineup here, David, I don't know where you turn to at this point. I mean, I like Eddie Rosario, he's a nice guy. He was hitting 183 when Washington cut him. Is that, the panacea? There's no place to really turn to here. You're not. I don't know what I'm leaning on. This says to me that the Atlanta Braves are going to be able to hold this together. I if anything, they're going to go more sideways than they are now. Their trend line, Dave, is down, 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 down. Right.
Well, I think you're right in that trading is not really going to be a solution here. You're going to have to rely on the quality players you've got to be who they traditionally are. If they're not, then you just have a year where things just went off the tracks and can't really put your finger on it. But yeah, it's you'll just have to hang in there and have faith in the players. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out this year.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks, David, weighing in here. I guess at 404-726-0929, I guess that's just not – I love Eric how calm he is. Yeah, if it doesn't work out – if it doesn't work out this year, it doesn't work out this year. I mean, what else can you say? Well, what I can say is this season began as parade or bust, and if you don't get a parade out of this season, this is a fail, a massive fail, and the organization needs to sit down, and they can't say, well, you know, we're injured. Well, other teams are injured. You know, the Phillies are all banged up right now, right? And who won that game yesterday? Who's 10 games ahead? So, I mean, they didn't
blame
injuries in 2020.
Banged up or losing your top two guys. That's extreme, right, John? You know, Bryce Harper misses time from time to time, but he's still out there every day. They're number one aces, number one two guys. They may go on the IL for a little bit, but they're not out for the year. Losing those top two guys was a huge, huge. I mean, would Ronald Acuna have been back to himself
by now? Really? Because in 2021, in 2021, did they lose their top two guys and won the World Series in Ronald Acuna and Mike Soroka? Did they lose their top two guys?
Not one coming off the MVP, and Soroka was a good guy, but the rest of the rotation really started to ascend. And our rotation is doing well, especially the guys we've added. You know, it's comparable, but I think this year's losses are a little bit more than 2021's losses.
Yeah, I'm not willing to accept that. I'm sorry, Eric. I don't accept it. I reject it. Do not accept injuries as an excuse. I don't. This organization cannot allow itself to be defined that way.
Okay, so with your logic and I understand you're not alone with just not accepting. If you were running the Braves right now, would you make major changes?
Yes, I would put people on notice. I'm making major changes. Yes,
I could work for you, John. I was told when I went through management school, my senior executive was like, "Look, they ain't doing the job. They got to go." Don't be soft.
I would pull Alex Anthopoulos in and say, I don't know what's going on with your scouting department. Alex is fine. And Brian Snicker and I would say, look, I don't want to hear any more excuses. I want somebody to tell me. I saw a side-by-side comparison, and I don't know this. I'm not into the weeds like Grant McCauley, of Matt Olson, right? And he was in – it was like Oakland and then here and then now. And in Oakland, if you think about Matt Olson, he's got his bat kind of straight up and down, right? Okay, if you see him at the plate. And the barrel of the bat's kind of like tilted toward the pitcher. And that was kind of in Oakland. He gets here, and I don't know who had him, but you take that bat and you lay it off, okay, which means you kind of lay it back. Because when he has the barrel tipped again, which is what he's got now, he loops the bat. When it's laid off, he's already in kind of a strike, you know, a swing position where he doesn't have to make that extra loop. If you follow me, it's sort of like we're playing golf swing and not golf here, but he's got an extra little thing he's got to do, which is throwing. When he was hitting 54 home runs, it was just straight from like a three-quarter position and out, and he didn't have to do this loop thing. Now, I don't know that that's the case here, but boy, he's nowhere near the guy we saw last year, and he ain't injured. He's not injured. You know, Sean Murphy is not the guy that we saw, and I know he came off an injury. But, you know, now you've got Austin Riley starting to hit a little bit. Where's Ozzy hit yesterday, but where's Ozzy been all year? I mean, I know these guys have had to work around some injuries, but they're not playing at a level. And, again, I'm going to go back to something that I continually harp on, but I really truly believe there's a functional problem within the Atlanta Braves. There is no joy this year. The joy that they have had every single year, is that a loss of Ron Washington and Eric Young? Maybe. And when Snitbear, which is a stupid name, but whatever, showed up, and when Grant Holmes showed up, I thought, okay, now we got the new mustache, that's the hair. Everybody's going to have a mullet, and they're going to be running around. All right, Snitbear, which I didn't like that name, and I still don't, but at least everybody can have a rally teddy, and they could be holding rally teddies. There's something kind of organic about that. It's like the new pearls. It's like the new mustache. And then they didn't – it's like nobody in the organization bothered to grab onto that. And so there's an organizational problem because – in the organization, you have to, when things happen like that, you can't fake it, right? But when organic things happen, the marketing departments have to talk to management, have to talk to, hey, listen, let's kind of run with this. You know, and it's not something you foist on the team. You get the fans involved. And if the fans kind of run with it, then it becomes something fun. There's no fun at the ballpark right now. There hasn't been fun in this dugout all year long. And I do wonder if they miss Ron Washington. I keep sitting around here hoping the Angels go, fire the old dude because it ain't working. Because if they fire, we bought Duvall back, we bought Rosario back. If the Angels fire Ron Washington, it is imperative that the Atlanta Braves immediately hire him back. Imperative. Not a decision, not, unless he just says he's done because of his age, because what, he's 72, 73. It's imperative they bring him back because there's something really amiss inside this team. That's another reason that my faith level on this club, I got nothing to hang my, I have nothing to grab onto that says, hey, this team is going to do something this year. I mean, 28, that stat alone, and stats are what you make of them, but just let that stat sink in. 28 straight losses when the opponents have scored at least four runs. They haven't won a game when the opponent has scored four runs or more since April 17th. It's the 6th of the July, for crying out loud. Yeah. You tell me how that turns around. And no, I'm not willing to accept, if it's just an off year, it's an off year. And then you check. No, there's no such thing. That's how winning organizations turn into losing organizations. Because you accept something less than success. Right? It's going to be okay. Now, it actually kind of goes to my problem with the Hawks. The Hawks haven't admitted to themselves. The Hawks are like an alcoholic who haven't admitted to themselves they have a problem. Okay? You have to admit you have a problem when you're facing a problem. And the Braves have to admit they have a problem. And it's like they're just kind of trolling along going, you know, because Snit, God love him, will say things like, you know, it's baseball. You know, we'll be fine. These guys will come around. Okay. I'll tell you what somebody else said about the Hawks next, and we'll add that into the mix on this Saturday. I want it to be fun. I want to be happy. But I'm not. Can football get here? Football, football, yo, football, football.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the opening game against the Philadelphia Phillies did not exactly go as hoped. Seventh inning turned into like Keystone Cops with balls being thrown all over the place and errors, and it was a disaster. And the Braves, with this loss, fall 10 games back at the Phillies. Tonight it will be Schwalbach against Suarez, and Ranger Suarez, who might start the All-Star game and is one of the leading candidates for the Cy Young this year, he's the dude that the Braves haven't been able to touch. Yeah, maybe they can tonight. Maybe things change, and maybe tonight they finally get to Ranger Suarez. Braves are going to have something positive come out of this series, because right now, I don't know. But maybe you're saying, hey, relax, everything's going to be fine. Okay, I need you to walk me through how everything's going to be fine. Yesterday Ozuna homered and Riley homered and Ozzie homered, and so they're back. Yeah, same time that Max faltered and that the defense went haywire wacky. I mean, there were boos. There were people booing at Truist Park. But we still need the wild card, by a game and a half. And you've got to play so much more baseball and all this makeup that you got to do. Yeah, there's a lot of concerns here for me. And the whole AA pixie dust thing between now and the trade deadline, I started looking at it going, to go where and do what? You're kind of loaded right now. I mean, he could still make a, don't get me wrong, he could still make a move, but and he probably will, but I don't think it's going to be something massive. It's not going to be like when he rebuilt the bullpen 7, 8, 9 and the whole Will Smith, Chris Martin thing back a few years back, or you know when he went and redid the outfield of the year of the World Series and got Jock and Soler and Rosario. What did he do? Well, he brought back Rosario yesterday. So now Rosario's back. He's down in Gwinnett, but so he's back. I don't know. I don't know where you go with this. David joins us here to talk about where the Braves go with this. Hey, David.
Hey, a couple of points here. One, in baseball, because you have such long careers, players tend toward their career numbers, whether they're above or below their typical average. And I think in that concern, you don't really worry about the batting capabilities of most of these players. They're going to do better in the second half than they did in the first half. So I don't think that's a major concern. Secondary, since the wild card came in, winning the division has been a real albatross. Very few division winners have gotten out of the first round, and I think you can attribute that to the five-day layoff. It really seems to have an adverse effect on teams. So winning the division is all well and good for patting yourself on the back, but I think it's actually a downside in terms of trying to win the championship. So in that concern, I don't think it's that big a deal. It would be freakish if the Braves continue to bat so poorly across the lineup, because that would mean the team itself has had a below average year, and you don't anticipate that with the quality players they have in the lineup.
All right, David, I got to tell you, I am nowhere in your universe. I am literally nowhere in your universe. It's like, what have you been watching? No offense here. They have been. They have been so far below all their averages. It's not like we played 10 games. I mean, we're well into the second half of the season. There is no indication that this is going to change, except the back of the baseball card. That's not, David, helping me at all, because I'm seeing a team that's got no clue offensively. There's no reason, David, for me to believe at all that they are going to revert to some norm. None. I don't have some wild, blind faith that because Matt Olson hit 54 home runs this year, that this dude's going to hit 20 this year. I have none.
Well, you knew they were not going to do like last year, because last year was freakishly good. It is possible this will be a year they'll be freakishly bad. But I'm just more optimistic than you are.
Bad. Yeah, no, I know you are, and that's why I'm just trying to walk myself through this. I got nothing here. At this point, David, if I had to go into Vegas and bet, I would bet that the Braves don't make the playoffs.
Well, I have to say there's so many teams close to it that it may be a coin flip, not so much that the Braves are so bad, it's that the other team, there's so many other teams that are comparable. There's not really that much of a difference. But if you can just make it into the playoffs in baseball, you've got a chance. And like I said, the wild card probably gives you a better chance than division winners, at least according to the way things have been set up with the wild card system the last few years. So,
I understand that. I mean, we've talked at length, David, about that. I mean, you know, whether or not, because you know when they expanded the wild card, you got a week off here, and the Braves, you know, tended to say that they didn't handle it well in the first year, and so the second year was just working out. Second year, last year they did these, you know, mock games where they played these kind of inter squad games, bought up the Gwinnett Stripers, and you know, let fans into the ballpark and kind of like tried to pretend that the season was going on, and that didn't so much work, and so they're kind of trying to work through it. And baseball said, look, you know, maybe we have a problem with this, because it wasn't just the Braves, it was also the Orioles, it was also the Dodgers. And so they said, yeah, this is something we have to kind of look at, because people were saying, when you just stop down, it's, you know, other teams just they kept running and they went right past you, you know, like in a race, you know, you had the lead and then you stopped to get water and the other guys didn't stop running, and then now you're trying to catch up. So, yeah, that's an issue. I understand. I mean, when the Braves won the World Series, of course, they were a division winner, not a wild card team, but they had to play in a wild card series against the Brewers, and so they just kept going. This lineup here, David, I don't know where you turn to at this point. I mean, I like Eddie Rosario. He's a nice guy. He was hitting 183 when Washington cut him. Is that, you know, the panacea? There's no place to really turn to here. You're not. I don't know what I'm leaning on. This says to me that the Atlanta Braves are going to be able to hold this together. I if anything, they're going to go more sideways than they are now. Their trend line, Dave, is down, right?
Well, I think you're right in that trading is not really going to be a solution here. You're going to have to rely on the quality players you've got to be who they traditionally are. If they're not, then you just have a year where things just went off the tracks and can't really put your finger on it. You'll just have to hang in there and have faith in the players. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out this year.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks, David, weighing in here. I guess at 404-726-0929, I guess that's just not – I love Eric how calm he is. Yeah, if it doesn't work out – if it doesn't work out this year, it doesn't work out this year. I mean, what else can you say? Well, what I can say is this season began as parade or bust, and if you don't get a parade out of this season, this is a fail, a massive fail, and the organization needs to sit down, and they can't say, well, you know, we're injured. Well, other teams are injured. You know, the Phillies are all banged up right now, right? And who won that game yesterday? Who's 10 games ahead? So, I mean, they didn't
blame
injuries in 2020.
Banged up or losing your top two guys. That's extreme, right, John? You know, Bryce Harper misses time to time, but he's still out there every day. They're number one aces, number one two guys. They may go on the IL for a little bit, but they're not out for the year. Losing those top two guys was a huge, huge. I mean, would Ronald Acuña have been back to himself?
Really? Because in 2021, in 2021, did they lose their top two guys and won the World Series in Ronald Acuña and Mike Soroka? Did they lose their top two guys?
Not one coming off the MVP, and Soroka was a good guy, but the rest of the rotation really started to ascend. And our rotation is doing well, especially the guys we've added. You know, it's comparable, but I think this year's losses are a little bit more than 2021's losses.
Yeah, I'm not willing to accept that. I'm sorry, Eric. I don't accept it. I reject it. Do not accept injuries as an excuse. I don't. This organization cannot allow itself to be defined that way.
Okay, so with your logic and I understand you're not alone with this not accepting. If you were running the Braves right now, would you make major changes?
Yes. I would put people on notice I'm making major changes, yes.
I could work for you, John. I was told when I went through management school, my senior executive was like, "Look, they ain't doing the job. They got to go." Don't be soft.
I would pull Alex Anthopoulos in and say, I don't know what's going on with your scouting department. Alex is fine. And Brian Snicker and I would say, look, I don't want to hear any more excuses. I want somebody to tell me. I saw a side-by-side comparison, and I don't know this. I'm not into the weeds like Grant McCauley, of Matt Olson, right? And he was in – it was like Oakland and then here and then now. And in Oakland, if you think about Matt Olson, he's got his bat kind of straight up and down, right? Okay, if you see him at the plate. And the barrel of the bat's kind of like tilted toward the pitcher. And that was kind of in Oakland. He gets here, and I don't know who had him, but you take that bat and you lay it off, okay, which means you kind of lay it back. Because when he has the barrel tipped again, which is what he's got now, he loops the bat. When it's laid off, he's already in kind of a strike, you know, a swing position where he doesn't have to make that extra loop. If you follow me, it's sort of like we're playing golf swing and not golf here, but he's got an extra little thing he's got to do, which is throwing. When he was hitting 54 home runs, it was just straight from like a three-quarter position and out, and he didn't have to do this loop thing. Now, I don't know that that's the case here, but boy, he's nowhere near the guy we saw last year, and he ain't injured. He's not injured. You know, Sean Murphy is not the guy that we saw, and I know he came off an injury, But, you know, now you've got Austin Riley starting to hit a little bit. Where's Ozzy hit yesterday, but where's Ozzy been all year? I mean, I know these guys have had to work around some injuries, but they're not playing at a level. And again, I'm going to go back to something that I continually harp on, but I really truly believe there's a functional problem within the Atlanta Braves. There is no joy this year. The joy that they have had every single year, is that a loss of Ron Washington and Eric Young? Maybe. And when Snitbear, which is a stupid name, but whatever, showed up, and when Grant Holmes showed up, I thought, okay, now we got the new mustache, that's the hair. Everybody's going to have a mullet, and they're going to be running around. All right, Snitbear, which I didn't like that name, and I still don't, but at least everybody can have a rally teddy, and they could be holding rally teddies. There's something kind of organic about that. It's like the new pearls. It's like the new mustache. And then they didn't – it's like nobody in the organization bothered to grab onto that. And so there's an organizational problem because – in the organization, you have to, when things happen like that, you can't fake it, right? But when organic things happen, the marketing departments have to talk to management, have to talk to, hey, listen, let's kind of run with this, you know? And it's not something you foist on the team. You get the fans involved. And if the fans kind of run with it, then it becomes something fun. There's no fun at the ballpark right now. There hasn't been fun in this dugout all year long. And I do wonder if they miss Ron Washington. I keep sitting around here hoping the Angels go, fire the old dude, because it ain't working. Because if they fire, we bought Duvall back, we bought Rosario back. If the Angels fire Ron Washington, it is imperative that the Atlanta Braves immediately hire him back. Imperative. Not a decision, unless he just says he's done because of his age, because what, he's 72, 73. It's imperative they bring him back. Because there's something really amiss inside this team. That's another reason that my faith level on this club, I got nothing to hang my, I have nothing to grab onto that says, hey, this team is going to do something this year. I mean, there, 28, that stat alone, and stats are what you make of them, but just let that stat sink in. 28 straight losses when the opponents have scored at least four runs. They haven't won a game when the opponent has scored four runs or more since April 17th. It's the 6th of the July, for crying out loud. Yeah. You tell me how that turns around. And no, I'm not willing to accept, if it's just an off year, it's an off year. And then you check. No, there's no such thing. That's how winning organizations turn into losing organizations, because you accept something less than success, right? That's be okay. Now, it actually kind of goes to my problem with the Hawks. The Hawks haven't admitted to themselves. The Hawks are like an alcoholic who haven't admitted to themselves they have a problem, okay? You have to admit you have a problem when you're facing a problem. And the Braves have to admit they have a problem. And it's like they're just kind of trolling along, going, you know, because Snit, God love him, will say things like, you know, it's baseball. You know, we'll be fine. These guys will come around. Okay. I'll tell you what somebody else said about the Hawks next, and we'll add that into the mix on this Saturday. I want it to be fun. I want to be happy. But I'm not. Can football get here? Football, football, yo, football, football.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.